Covenant Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints. I hope there wasn't a gap there. I lost my audio of the introduction. This is Don Nikoloff, your host, and I want to welcome our new audio engineer, Alyssa, who is doing a great job so far in bringing the show to you, and so we want to give her a nice round of applause. You have to do that, though. I'm holding a phone with one hand, and I can't clap with the other hand. Before I bring on tonight's guest, I want to, first of all, welcome you to bbsradio.com. It is March the 21st on the East Coast. As usual, you are 3 hours younger on the West Coast. It's still March the 20th, as you may have found out sometime during the day. If not, you know now. What's going on in the world today? Well, as of a couple of hours ago, they brought out this really interesting information about Barack Obama and the fact that someone has investigated and invaded his passport records. What does that mean? They got a picture of his application. Does it mean that there might be some hidden information as to his origin, maybe where he was actually born, something that's not supposed to come out? Of course, who's behind this? Well, it smacks of Republicanism, but don't be surprised if the Clintons aren't behind this. They are masters at snatching people's private records. They did this with some 900 FBI files, and everyone seemed to have forgotten about that when Bill Clinton left office. Yet Hillary also took some China, some works of art from the basement of the White House and took them home with her. She had to return them. So these things go on all the time. Who's behind it? Well, does it really matter? It's more of the typical spin intended to confuse you, to keep you in a state of fear, to keep your consciousness at the lowest level possible, and keeping your focus on material things, keeping your focus on thoughts, keeping both the fear of loss of what you own and the fear that your freedom of speech and your thoughts are being monitored, laws are being created to keep you from speaking a certain truth or thinking a certain truth. And that's not what this radio show is about. Evident Footprints is about bringing the truth to you, as you well know. If it's your first time listening, welcome. You are going to hear some things tonight that are of a divine order. I will stress that, underline that, capitalize it, and put exclamation points on both sides of it. The person that I am bringing on tonight was introduced to me through a past guest, actually a three-time guest on Evident Footprints, Mr. Michael St. Clair. And the archives were listened to by people all over the world. This person happened to write an email to Michael St. Clair, which he forwarded to me, and I came to meet this guest and was astounded by the amount of truth that comes through her writing. And she's written a book called Interior Joy, which is on my directlightproductions.com website under the books page. And you can get a copy of the book. You can read a piece of what she's written on my website. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest. She is a sound frequency and vibration healer who has devoted her life to helping others achieve a state of joyous well-being and a higher state of consciousness through DNA activation. Her book, Reflections on Life Through the Heart's Wisdom, is her account of her own spiritual awakening and a roadmap to guide you along your own path. I would say that this book is actually a manual that will teach you how to open your heart, how to see truth, and how to discern the game that the New World Order Illuminati demons would want you to follow. You will escape that, and you will create a new reality by learning to understand what this lady has written. And with that, I want to welcome onto Evident Footprints for her first interview, Miss Deanne Hampton. Deanne, good evening.
Good evening, Don, and thank you for that wonderful introduction.
I had a slip of the tongue, and I said inferior joy. I apologize for that. That was not intentional. I was thinking about the word reflection, and so I put the F in the wrong word.
You have to stay fully present in each moment so those things won't happen.
That doesn't happen to me too often, but when it does, it's a doozy. You know, we can assemble a blooper tape sometime of all of
that's
my...
That's okay. We'll let that pass and get on with a wonderful talk together.
Yes. Deanne, you know this. I've expressed this to you before you came on the show, that you have a mission, and many of us on the planet have a mission. And I don't find it an accident or a coincidence that Michael St. Clair would forward a comment that you made about his interview on my show, and that would open up a line of communication, and then we would see all of these synchronicities playing a role in bringing people together. And really, it underscores the basic statement in all of your work, and that is that we are all one. And I would like you to sort of share with the audience what your motivations are, what inspired you to write this this work.
Well, first of all, I'm happy that you pointed that little experience out that we had between the three of us, because to me, it's so clear in my life that things are happening like that all the time. I mean, I talk to people both professionally and in the work with helping people get centered on their spiritual path, and also just in daily life, that say, you know, guidance doesn't happen for me, or I don't have experiences that help me to know what I should be doing, and that's just not true. I mean, guidance is with us all the time. It's just a matter of, are we being open to living from a place of gathering with our heart, or are we processing things through our mental capacity, which tends to have a whole lot of veils on it, that conditioning that we've picked up along the way that teaches us to think that the control about our life is outside of ourselves rather than within ourselves. So, you know, the experience of us connecting was really magical, but those kind of magical things happen all the time.
They do. I think our biggest problem is that we don't recognize it when it's there, you know, when it's hitting us smack dab in the nose or the face. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be in the nose. That's very true, and to take it maybe one step further, I think we keep identifying with this reality that we're currently living in our physical bodies, this three-dimensional construct that we call life on planet Earth, and we're oblivious to the fact that we're, and I say the masses, it's not maybe you or me or others who are bringing these truths forward, but those that keep looking for some validation from the very machinery, if you want to use that term, that puts out the propaganda and the mind control. In other words, they tell us what they want us to think, what they want us to believe, and keep us focused on the material, and we're unconscious of that. In other words, we're so self-absorbed in the false ego that we don't see that the answers are really inside of ourselves, and we don't need to look to others necessarily to find that truth. It's within us, and I think you would agree with that.
Yes. You know, when you talked about the false self and being so absorbed within us, it's like what comes to me and what I've written a lot about is it's a type of fragmentation, like a fragmented aspect of humanity. And it's the polar opposite of being in a place of fully inhabiting yourself, you know, being fully present in the moment, not so much with thought, but just being present and conscious and not have your thoughts all over the place, because really our thoughts are the cause of so much distortion and unconscious creation. But when we can be present and bring awareness to each moment, then we can begin to find the circuitry, so to speak, and connective threads of our shared consciousness. And that's where magic really, really begins to happen and take hold in our life. And, you know, I talk of magic as an energy, and it's intricately connected to the unknown. And when my life really started to take flight and to connect with this stream of joy that really feels like it's not my own. It feels like it's from another place, another dimension, another reality that comes through me, is when I let go and trusted life enough to start living in the mystery and start living in the unknown. And, you know, it's something that is challenging in this dimension, in this reality, to trust ourselves, because so much of life and the social constructs that we're conditioned by teach us not to not only trust ourselves, but not to trust much of anything. But if we can learn to trust ourselves and our connection to the universe and to the creative heart center, then that's a place to begin and to start from there, to start remembering who we really are. And that's really a core piece of the work that I do, both with individuals, but also in the writing and the lecturing that I do, is about being authentic. And there's so many dimensions right now that are supporting us at this time toward that end, toward realizing and remembering our authentic nature and who we really are, so that we can be more empowered in our walk through the journey to the new earth that is upon us.
Well said. And that's a mouthful, too. For the sake of the listeners out there that listen to these shows for information and to learn or to be inspired and guided and maybe armed, to use, for lack of a better word, in other words, to have the feeling that they have some tools with which they can make these things you're saying a reality. I get emails from people and I get phone calls. In fact, about an hour or a little over an hour before I came on the air tonight, I called into another show. In fact, it's a show, Rick Adams' show, and his guest was Dr. Qasem Khalil. He has been a guest on my show, and he has written some wonderful books about science and the true sciences. And then he has written a book called Wrongly Blamed, about 9/11 and this reality of about 9/11. And he asked a rhetorical question, and the synchronicity of my thought at the moment, and this was my consciousness coming up from what he said, and the statement he made that we have to find a solution to handle these things, to be able to cope with these things if we're going to survive, if we're going to rise above this. And I called into the show and basically affirmed what he was saying and remarked that his message is transnational, trans-ethnic, trans-religious, and that it really points out that all of us are one. And his message, the underlying current in his message is that he is really bringing people together. He's pointing out that these things are fallacies. The facts behind 9/11 and the other terrorist events are designed to keep us in this fear-based matrix, because then when your attention is on what's going to happen to me, is Osama bin Laden going to get me? When they're hiding the fact that he was a creation for this particular purpose that he's serving right now. In fact, he's dead, and yet the news tonight is putting out that bin Laden is back. You know, it's like the concept of the boogeyman that hides under your bed at night when you're a little child, and you don't dare get out of your bed or the boogeyman's going to get you. They're still putting that boogeyman out there, and grown-ups are buying it. And so we have people in the Patriot community, we have people in the financial community who are pointing out things that are going on, which are just illusions. And what we're really talking about here are the illusions of living in this three-dimensional world of duality, which you so well speak about. Would you maybe expound upon duality a little bit for us?
I'm finding my way through all that you just talked about with the 9/11 and the...
Yeah.
One of the things that was coming to me as you were talking about that is why we have become so susceptible is because we have lost our sense of self. And whenever there is not a strong center and a strong core and a strong sense of sovereignty, of knowing who we are, then there's almost seepage and leaks in our light body and our energy field that allows suggestion to come through that it doesn't matter so much whether or not it's false or true, because by the time this point happens where the sense of self is not strong and intact, and so people are searching and seeking for something that makes sense outside of themselves. It's not even where there's any discernment left. It's just, oh, there's something that I can grasp onto, and ultimately it leaves one without having to be responsible for their own divine purpose. And the what you talked about in your radio show with Michael, the oath that each of us took when we came into this dimension. And yes, this is the plane of demonstration. We came to act out and to experience a reality through a sense of duality. And the purpose for that is in order to be whole, we need to. It is the completion of ourselves to be able to have both the light and the dark, the love and the hate, the joy and the sorrow. And when we can experience that and experience it from a place not of attachment but from observation, and then bring it back into ourselves and experience life through the prism of having had those experiences and run them through the chamber of our heart, well, then it opens up this whole new level of compassion and understanding for what everyone is going through, because everyone becomes a mirror and a reflection for the experiences that we've had, and they're all the same. We go through different details of the experiences, but they're really all the same.
Mm-hmm. You just did a masterful job at answering a question couched in a preface, which is the setup for the question. And I honor how you just went into the heart and brought out the answer to that. I saw what was actually transpiring there, and you hit the nail right on the head.
Well, you and I have had some interesting discussions between us about how different facets of society focus on different thought streams, and that all of it is important to some degree, but we're getting to the point now, and I feel it so very strongly in my heart and in my experience every day, that to recognize that love is an engaging, active frequency, and it's the core frequency of our being, of who we are, beyond all time and space. And that frequency is something that we can remember how to attune to and to engage and to allow to re-empower us, so that all of these things that are happening in the economy and in healthcare and in politics and the deception and all the things that the egoic mind has created and attached to, they're going to still be going on, but we can attune to a higher frequency, which is love, and engage that frequency so to empower its continued expansion, not only in our individual consciousness, but in the collective consciousness, so that love becomes a greater and greater power as a force of energy to counteract and overpower, so to speak, the shadow forces that are doing their best to get the attention of social consciousness.
Mm-hmm. What dawned on me while you were talking just now is that so few of us really understand the meaning of the word love. I think love, because of this paradigm that we're in, takes on a variety of different characteristics or personas, if you would. In other words, we use the word love very freely, and yet do we really understand what the word means? I love my car. I love my house. I love my football team. I love my basketball team and my baseball team. I love the girl that sits across from me in the classroom. I love candy. I love drinking. I love watching movies. We attach that word love very loosely to things, and yet do we really understand what we're saying when we say we love a thing or we love a person?
And the difference that I feel, and this is just coming up to clarity by what you were saying, I think the difference is in this dimension and the way we've been conditioned and the almost contrived energy that is around love is that we use it as an expression of something outside of ourselves as we perceive it through the window of our mental perception, whereas love in the greater expression and the greater frequency is an energy that when we clear ourselves out enough of our own agenda, then it's able to and is allowed to run through you from the higher dimension and go out to create a reality before you even get there, so to speak, so that it's like an organizing principle that that when you experience light, you're experiencing it with eyes and an understanding and an expression and a heart that doesn't just belong to you, but it belongs to holiness.
Yes, and it's the center of all creation. And it is eventually when we reach an understanding of love, I'm just giving you my opinion here, that it will become everything to us, and it will be the only thing, it will be our only reality. But to reach that level, it's like you said, we have to purge ourselves of the toxins of what we eat and the toxins that have shattered our psyches and our thought processes and disconnected us from our true selves. And you use the word remembering, which is, we think of remembering as a process of the mind, and remembering is also a physical process. It's a rebuilding of anything, really. Organizations have membership, and when you remember the organization, you put new membership into it. And remembering the body would be recreating the limbs and the other parts of the body, or restoring the body to its original state of purity and health. And so when we talk about remembering in the sense of the heart, then we are realigning ourselves with our source, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, you are going to be on this show many times, I can tell, because we're not going to be able to cover everything in 1 hour or in whatever time. We might go over a few minutes because we have that luxury on this last show of the evening on BBS Radio. Sometimes we do extend a few minutes so that we can conclude an important thought or idea or concept. So I'd asked you if you would read something. You've written a second book, which is yet to be published, called The New Human. And I asked if you would read the chapter that you had read to me to the listeners tonight. I feel that if anyone was wondering what the purpose of life is, you encapsulated it in this piece that you read to me this evening. And would you be so kind as to grace the listeners tonight on Evident Footprints with that piece that you read?
I would be happy to do that, and I appreciate your support and your enthusiasm, and it's just, you know, life is just a constant wonderment to me, and the experience of this book, The New Human, happened just a couple months ago, and it came to me. The first thing that I heard in my guidance was, there are so many powerful light workers and healers and authors, some of which have been out there doing the good work for 20 and 30 years, and a lot of focus right now is on the new earth, and as well it needs to be and should be. But at the same time, what I was hearing in my guidance is that, well, we're preparing for the new earth, but where is the material, where is the instruction manual, where is the information for the people who are going to be living on the new earth? So in other words, the new human. And so the minute that I acknowledged that thought stream to myself, it was like something took over. And for 3 weeks of my life, just a few months ago, the end of 2007, actually, for 3 weeks of my life, it woke me up in the morning and took me out to a stream in the woods, and, you know, 2,000 to 2,500 words later, there was a chapter of a book, and, you know, the book came through exactly in the form that it is now from start to finish, and it starts out, the first half of the book is talking about where we are today as a humanity and how we got here and our responsibility in that. And then the second half of the book is a little bit of an instruction manual for the new human and the steps that we can take and what each person can do. So if someone is out there asking, okay, I'm ready and I feel this and I feel the pulse and I feel the consciousness and it's speaking to my heart and it's calling me, but what do I do first? And the answer to that question, sincerely, through my heart, is what opened up the portal that brought this book through. And the chapter that I shared with you is actually the next to the last chapter of the entire book, and it's called The Freedom of Love.
Now, before you go into that, Deanne, if I can just ask the listening audience, listen to this with your heart and not your mind, and you will be overcome with a flow of energy. You work in DNA activation, and I can guarantee you I felt something very profound when I heard Deanne read this to me. And so I just wanted to insert that I don't want to tell the listeners how to listen,
right,
other than try not to listen with your mind. Focus on just allowing the words that she has, because this is sacred, what she has written.
It is pretty fully loaded.
Okay, so I apologize for interrupting, but I felt like I should say that.
No problem, Doc.
Okay.
Just kind of like maybe even close your eyes and sit back and just relax and let us all share this moment together. And the title again is The Freedom of Love. I would believe only in a God who could dance. And when I saw my devil, I found him serious, thorough, profound, and solemn. It was the spirit of gravity. Through him, all things fall. Not by wrath does one kill, but by laughter. Come, let us kill the spirit of gravity. I have learned to walk ever since I let myself run. I have learned to fly. Now I am light. Now I fly. Now I see myself beneath myself. Now God dances through me. And that is a quote by Friedrich Nietzsche. Beyond all time and space, within and outside all known and unknown dimensions, a pause between the inhalation and exhalation of prana, there is a void where all realities and planes of existence collapse into themselves, a nothingness of penetrating stillness and silence. It is the womb of all creation. In that nothingness is a superluminal pulse, a heartbeat of dominant desire and primary purpose, the unknown giving birth to a known of many worlds of expression and beingness. This void, beyond the exploration, technologies, and intelligent scope of the most superior life force, initiated life as we know it and beyond, out of a supreme love and the desire to experience the totality of itself, to manifest unlimited consciousness. We are the experiencing extensions of the eternal, the void out of which the entire cosmos evolved. Every galaxy, every planet, every star, every atom and molecule, all species and intelligence. Our path in life upon this plane of existence is to realize the God within, to dance with the duality of separation and go beyond the limitations and illusions of this dimension. It is in embracing all life, its pain and its shadow, its wonder and its bliss, its distortion and brokenness, beauty and sorrow, joy and divine union, that we gather up the pieces of a forgotten God. In truth, we are one with the unknown God of the great beyond. The essence of who we are, all that we have been and all that we will be, walks side by side with a benevolent, loving, all-powerful presence that is God consciousness. We are in partnership with magnificence. There is a golden plane of bliss that knows our eternal nature as its own, delights in our being, and imbues our internal spark with the teachings of the inner Christ. In the crystalline expression of our multidimensionality, we know only love, a desire to contribute, and the remembrance of these powerful teachings. There to guide us in how to deal with unseen, low-vibrating influences, how to manifest with a wise, discerning, all-knowing intelligence, and how to maintain the energies of our inherent light. These emanations of our pure and vital nature assure that we are ever receiving guidance of the highest level. In this remembrance, we have the infinite capacity as light surrounded by light to communicate with consciousness itself, a vibrating realm of thought-to-thought transmission with holiness. The only thing asked of us in this chosen involution of beingness is to go forth with openness of mind, loving heart, and pure intention into the lessons of our becoming. The treasure is in knowing that love is the greatest power and the light of all eternity, present in each moment through our acceptance and allowing of what is. Love summons the source of all creation to heal, to realize that all persons and experiences are our thoughts made manifest, that they reflect what we expect to see, and that expectation is a powerful creator of our reality, positive and negative. Every experience is an opportunity to love and forgive where we have forgotten whom and what we are, a choice to evolve back into a state of unity. Just to be here in this experience, having so much abundance of life and beauty unceasingly available to us, is a gift beyond measure. Everything else is detail. There is not one moment that Christ's love is not illuminating the path to our divine essence. Not one moment that whatever or whomever we are beholding is not there to help realize the Christ within. We are awakening from a perpetual sleep of forgetfulness to the evolution of our potential. We have experienced deeply the consequences of creating from the ego's desire to attain power in the known of a very transient existence. Within the current revolution of consciousness, destined to be the portal to a new understanding and expression of manifested life, we have the capacity to step back from a very limited perspective of who we are enough to see that any person or experience that we perceive to be less than or other than ourselves stands between us and our path to God. I remember teaching Sunday school to the children of my Methodist upbringing, the me I once was. I was never sure, as a young person with a newly emerging sense of individuality, that what I was doing within those four walls with those impressionable young beings would be approved of, but I was listening to my heart and trusting in a love that superseded division and separation. I would gather these young and innocent around me and share that there were children in that same moment in Sunday school over at the Catholic church on the corner who believed with all their heart that what they believed and practiced was the way to the love of God. When we are all praying to the same God from a conditioned delusion of exclusivity and entitlement, what does God do? We live in one world, all life is just as sacred and precious to the Creator of it as any one expression of its potential. We were all once innocent children, and when it comes to the awareness and understanding of what the totality of creation is all about, we are children still. What is it that allows us to rise above our own mediocrity and fear to the remembrance of what the beloved Master Jesus taught, that like him, we are the likeness and image of the one God, endowed with the magnificence and potential of infinite expression and power. We can choose to continue to create in fear, separation, and judgment, manifesting the division and sorrow of illusion. Or we can allow the unspeakable grace of our own truth to enter in and set us free from the prison of our unconscious minds. To know gratitude is to accept the responsibility of who you are, the way, the truth, and the life, God made manifest into flesh, as is everything that is life in existence. It is all God, it is all me, and it is all you. When you experience life with the compassion and understanding of your heart, you are resonating and seeing with the mind and heart of God, rather than the conditioning and mindsets of those governed in fear. You can experience and instantly release what is seeking forgiveness in yourself and others who have lost their way. It matters not what a person has done or how they choose to experience life. They are loved and forgiven before they even stray. There is nothing to fix, only more self to realize. The practice of acceptance of unconditional love and forgiveness in each moment opens the spaciousness within your own confinement to invite gratitude in, transforming you and your experience into one of freedom. Gratitude is the quality of relinquishing all effort to the greater truth that everything and all life are gifts. Accept whatever and whomever you are without judgment. There is no right or wrong, only wisdom to be gained. Everyone is doing the best they know how from the experience and reflections of their own reality. When you have compassion and forgiveness for your own experience, instead of focusing on the perceived transgressions of another, you are transmitting a revolutionary teaching, giving others permission to find compassion for themselves, which will then ripple out into their lives and experiences. One of the most profound moments of my life happened when I was standing at the kitchen sink washing dishes. I was talking to the higher realms, asking for some tangible reflection that I was walking the well-lit path, aligned with the heart and mind of the Creator. And in that moment, I had a prism shift that shimmered throughout all of who I knew myself to be and as yet dared to reach for. The insight of revelation was that who I am, my heart of intent and love for life, is the answer to every prayer I have ever prayed. To experience unspeakable grace is to know profoundly that even the trials and challenges, the heartbreak and mistakes, the less than stellar moments and the complete undoing of who you thought yourself to be is a gift from the future of your potential, with absolute faith in your ability to rise above all illusion. In that moment, you are transformed. Only those who have experienced the hour the soul truly makes itself known, when the soul starts to speak that it is ready to do the work it was sent here from the light of all eternity to do, can fathom this inexplicable urge from within. No longer searching, the soul has been given the space for you to now seek your own counsel. Gratitude is no longer a quality to extol. It becomes the very heart and essence of your presence, endowed with the capacity to find beauty and meaning in just being. Then there is nothing and no one to forgive, because it is all just one endless expression of the experiential fullness and beauty that is all life. And I ended this chapter with a quote from Albert Einstein. My experience of God is not so much that of a deity, but as a profound sense of wonder.
It's just as moving as the first time I heard it. Thank you for reading that. That's a feat in and of itself to do that on live radio. And I'm sure anyone that was listening with their heart heard the message as it was intended. If I could comment for a moment while you catch your breath and rest your voice for a minute, I found myself seeing all the different aspects of Deanne Hampton and this important work that you've written, and seeing it, I began to have a vision of seeing it in the future. And I thought, who is this person that has written this? Of course, this is your connection to the Creator, obviously. Anyone with half a brain the size of a pea can discern that. I hear music in your words, in the sound of the words. It's written like a poem, in a sense, although the structure is based upon a higher reality, definitely not of this world. And you are the painter creating the imagery. You're the storyteller sharing moments of what all of us in some aspect of our life have experienced. You are addressing the fears and the hopes and the dreams of each individual. You're addressing science and the intellect. You're even a carpenter or a craftsman that creates something of beauty out of something very simple and plain and ordinary looking, and bringing it life, giving it life, giving it meaning, and causing it to be an inspiration, again, a sign of hope. You're the doctor that mends the heart and takes away the pain in the emergency room. You're the cruise ship captain that takes people on a journey of wonderment and enjoyment and, again, revitalization. You're demonstrating in that the oneness of all of us, really. These are just images that flooded through my consciousness as you read this. And yet I see this work, interior joy, becoming something for the new earth. It'll be something that will be taught in the schools. It will be something that will be revered amongst communities and those people that were able to transcend this dark reality that we currently find ourselves living within, and yet knowing full well that we don't have to wait until it's over to reach that point. You've already arrived there. You've shown us that. And I would suggest that anyone that wants to get there should get your book and read it and let it sink into the heart, and you'll find yourself sharing this with other people, just like we're sharing Deanne Hampton with the listening audience tonight. I don't know what else to say right now. I mean, you know, it's just overwhelming, and it creates a vibration. It's obvious that you work in sound and frequency healing, because I feel those vibrations. I know that this has the power to activate one's DNA. And for anyone who wonders what DNA is, it's deoxyribonucleic acid. That says a whole lot right there.
Don, I just want to thank you for all that imagery and all that reflection and just to express to you and to the listening audience that I am just a reflection of who you are, each and every person. And what is coming through me, through the vessel of my being, through the vessel that my experiences have prepared for this moment in time to be able to bring through this vibration and this frequency, that it's in each and every person. And right now, this time on the earth, we are all becoming one heart. And in the remembering of unity consciousness, it's the movement of consciousness from our brain into our hearts. And when we can be comfortable and trusting in life and trusting that it's all perfect and all of our experiences and everything that has ever happened to any person, not only did you invite it to you by the frequency and the vibration that you were carrying it at that time, but it was part of an overall plan that is being guided and fed by your future self. And Sheldrake, I believe, says that we are linked to the future, and so our thoughts that we are thinking in each moment is affecting what's coming to us. Our mental intentions are stretching out and actually linking to objects and persons and drawing them to us. So this moment right now is a crystallized moment in time, and each person that's listening, there's something for you right now in this moment that's answering a prayer that you've been praying every single day of your life, and you're now ready to hear that answer. And not only are we in a place where partnership is opening up, but we, every single person, you and me and all the listening audience, we are necessary components of the future Earth that's coming together. And this partnership is dependent upon us saying yes, sidestepping the fear, sidestepping the conditioning, letting go of the thoughts that connect us to the past incessantly. If we're only in our hearts and not in our thoughts, then we're only in this moment. And this moment, connecting to our future, will show us each next step that we need to take so that we can be in the exact right place at the exact right time, connecting with our familiars that are all just as anxious to meet us as we are to meet them, so that we can really bring this unity consciousness. You know, there's something that happens to the consciousness of the earth whenever the mankind of the moment begins to remember who it really is. And I feel that happening right now. And it's so moving and it's so beautiful and it's profound and simple at the same time, because in a word, it's just about love.
Yes. And what you said, we come to realize ourselves through all this. Our oneness with each other is really recognizing that we are ourselves. Just the like you've described it eloquently, the unity principle, the oneness of the universe, and our oneness with our Creator. That is the one thing, I think, in religious and spiritual circles that is so often neglected or denied or misspoken, mistaught, merely because of someone's, I'll use the word need, their individual need to control others or to remain superior, as if somehow being an equal would be a setback or a sort of disempowerment. Yet what you speak of is about total individual and then, as a result, collective empowerment. individual consciousness resulting in collective consciousness, which is, yes, tied directly to the earth, and the earth is constantly feeding us and keeping us alive. We take everything for granted. Where do our fruits and our vegetables come from, and the things that we consume to sustain our life? It all comes from the earth, and yet we are so disrespectful of the earth, and not only not recognizing that fact, but in how we pollute the earth, and then we end up polluting ourselves through that. But the earth is going to change whether we like it or not, and is changing, as you said very correctly. And we can assist the earth and then thereby help ourselves through that act, as well as the earth will continue to sustain us and to lift us into a higher realm. So the answers to our problems are in everything you said tonight. And I'm very, very appreciative.
We are the answer to our problems.
Yes, exactly.
No, and it's just, you just see things so differently, persons and experiences and yourself so differently when you're living in the heart. And every single day, you know, to ask for guidance to flow into your intention, into your core intention. And, you know, oftentimes in the work that I do with individuals, something that I hear back is, but what about my husband or my spouse or my boss, and he's doing this or she's doing that, and, you know, then what about the world and finances, and it just, you know, gets spirals and spirals. What if, what if, what if, what if? And what I say to them is that if they go within, and they focus on themselves, and they focus on clearing out the vessel within, and knowing that they are being impeccable with their word and with their deed and with their intention. If they are being genuine in their relationships and how they are interacting with people, and not with agenda, are you doing something from a pure place and for a pure reason, or are you doing it with an agenda to get something from, you know, if we're constantly looking in the mirror and at that reflection of what we're seeing and asking if we are being the best reflection of our own intent, and can keep asking that question and keep answering it, then there's nothing that you can do for your own highest good that's not for the highest good of everyone else on the planet. Because we're finding our own connection to source within. And by doing that, then we can start living from a more clear place and let go of this constant, incessant thought stream of constructs that we've become so conditioned by.
Yes, that's so true. Well, Deanne, we're almost out of time. I wanted to give you the opportunity to share your web address and any information, any contact information you want to give out. I'll let the listeners know, there is a link to your website on my website already. I put it there. I should put one on my links page, too. But your book is listed on my books page, and they can click on one of the words there will take you directly to your site. However, I want you to have the opportunity to share any information that you want to give out for contact purposes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. My website is interiorjoy.com, and emailing, if anybody would like to send an email, an email address is joyemerging, joyemerging, at interiorjoy.com. And the e-version of the Interior Joy book, the first volume, as I share with Dawn, it has three volumes, and the first volume is available on site. And also something that we didn't even have a chance to touch on tonight, but perhaps we will be able to in future connections, Don, is that I also channel some expression and love and guidance from a profoundly wise and benevolent group of beings that I know as the Shining Ones. And anyone that sends me an email, I have a list, a Shining Ones alert list that I send out so that every time there's a new message that people can be made aware that the Shining Ones have a new message. And so I would love to talk more about that aspect of my expanding reality sometime in the future. But right now, you know, the new human is in the hopper and will be able to be available for purchase soon. And so just stay connected to my website and to Don for that. And Interior Joy is up there, and I'd love to hear from anyone that was listening tonight. And it's just been a great joy to be here.
Well, it's been our blessing to have you on tonight. And yes, you are invited to come back, and that will happen very soon, I promise you. And we will talk about the Shining Ones as well as field some calls. I just felt tonight
that would be great.
Your message was so important. And this being your first show, I just wanted you to get your feet wet here. Welcome to BBSRadio.com, and welcome to Evident Footprints. And I hope you will come back soon and bless us with your grace and your love and your positive intention.
Thank you. I would love to.
I see you as an angel inhabiting a physical body, and I don't say that about many people. I've had a couple of angels on the show already. I know one when I see one, and I just want to thank you for the wonderful work that you are doing for humanity. In an email, I used the word mankind, and I added womankind, too. We don't want to leave the women out, do we?
And
I would also, just food for thought, the next time you're on, too, if we could touch upon nature and animals, because I know much you love animals, and I'm a rabid, no pun intended, animal lover.
And nature is as one of the chapters. There's a whole chapter on the gift of Gaia in the second half of The New Human, so it's a key element to us grounding into this reality fully and yet not being attached to anything and being able to really empower and command our responsibility to ourselves so that we can be just magnificent representatives of future Earth.
Well,
I'm all over that.
I'll look forward to that, too. So with that, I want to thank you again, and we're going to sign off here. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest this evening was Miss Deanne Hempton, and I want to assure you we will have her back. I'm sure I'm going to get flooded with email and phone calls, and as I do, I will forward those. You're welcome to visit her site. Please take a look at her book. Get a copy of it and read it. It's got solutions that are available to us right now. We don't have to wait until things transpire. We're in enough chaos right now. It's time to usher peace into the world. And so I encourage you to read her book. In the meantime, join us tomorrow night. My special guest will be scientist, author, inventor, lecturer, and teacher, Mr. Jim Murray. And we've got great shows lined up for next week. Visit my radio show schedule at directlightproductions.com. And with that, I want to wish everyone a very peaceful night filled with love, light, and joy. And with that, I'll say good night.